This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now we have our next studio guest in with us, Rowan.
We have Ravi Avasti. Welcome, Ravi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've got an exhibition coming up called Little Fleas.
That's right.
As part of the Grail Project.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about the background, about your work, your practice.
Sure.
Well, actually, sorry, before we do, Ravi, we're going to have a little chat about yourself.
Oh.
Let's have a talk about how you got to where you are. Is art something you've always been interested in doing? You know, is that what you're going to later? And just tell us how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, I have always been interested in art and being an artist. But I was a very good boy when I was growing up, and I was encouraged away from becoming an artist.
and that's always an interesting story, because I mean, when we interview people, you know, obviously we've got people who have very supportive and understanding sort of parents and let them go, let their kids do things. But there are others who obviously think that, you know, there's a more traditional path that you should follow.
Sure.
And everything else. So how did you deal with that, or how did you break away from that?
Well, it was, I should say that the reasons for being encouraged away from it were from a supportive point. Stability and all of those things. My father's Indian, so I was being a good Indian boy. But I remember when I was 11 years old, I went to a wedding reception held at the Tate, and I walked past a big pile of white bricks, which I found out later was Equivalent 8 by Carl Andre. And I realised that then I knew what that work was. I understood it. And that's what I wanted to be. But I was swiftly told that it's not good and no, I won't. So a few years later, I had a career as a financial planner, which was as beige as you imagine. And then when my wife was relocated to Australia, I started a new career as a furniture maker, which I did then until I closed that business a couple of years ago to focus on my art practice.
Okay, how was that in moving into the arts? I mean, obviously by that stage you'd be more stable and...
Yeah, well, the stability came from my wife's career, which is very fortunate.
And have you I suppose the furniture is a form of art as well. Have you always maintained some form of artistic expression as well?
Yes, that's right. The furniture, it took me a long time to realise that the furniture was actually an artistic practice. Mm. But it gave me a vent for the creativity for many years until I took made the decision to pursue a more obvious visual art practice.
Okay. And what sort of medium do you use or practice, I suppose, as far as art goes now?
I'm really fortunate that the nature of my practice means I can do as I please.
Okay.
I do use a lot of timber, and I have a good time with material exploration with timber, just testing different things and how it operates in different conditions. But aside from that, I mean, I also make work with light and sound and various castings and what have you now. So there's quite a strong element of an expanded field of drawing as well, so non-traditional drawing.
Okay. And so what about the work, well, this exhibition at the moment, Little Fleas, what does that involve?
Well, Little Fleas has a bit of all of that. There are some drawings in the show which are, I suppose, a little unexpected. And there's a light work, sand work, and some photography in it, and some more traditional sculpture. The idea of the show is to try and prompt a little curiosity in what people are viewing. The title, Little Fleas, comes from a poem that my grandfather used to say to my brother and I. He was a little Welshman with a beautiful voice and a twinkling eye. So he'd always say, big fleas have little fleas upon their backs to bite them, and little fleas have littler fleas, and so ad infinitum. So that stuck with me, just with stuck in my mind as a... picturing how as things go away or towards each other, they change, and then I've got fascinated with perspective and context.
And so obviously that saying, besides ringing your mind, I mean, has that influence, I suppose, some, or the work influence, some of that, the that term, or have you sort of, you know, or related it somehow to that, to the work that you're doing at the moment?
It's a lovely lovely thing when you realise that something from when you were younger relates directly to something you're doing today. So it was more of a, I don't know is the answer. It's just, but it's nice to know that there is a link.
Okay. And is this your first exhibition?
Or? It's my first solo show, yeah. I'm very fortunate to have such a big, fantastic space to have some work in, and to you know, have a bit of movement through the work, a bit of space for each piece, yeah.
Yeah, you're the current recipient of the Fiona Meyer residency. So
yes.
How much impact has this exhibition played from being the recipient of that award?
Well, the White Story residency was awarded at the VCA Masters exhibition, and I was one of the winners of various awards that were given out. At that exhibition. The work that is being presented at Grow Project is an extension of the work that was seen at the Masters show. So it, in a sense, it directly relates to that award, the residency. I am looking forward to spending a few months in Cremorne later this year to concentrate on some more work as part of the residency as well.
Terrific. And you say that in your work at the moment you're currently investigating metamorphosis. Do you want to expand on sort of what viewers to the exhibition can actually experience?
Well, if I'm to stretch the powers of my work, I like the idea that through an experience, there's enough of a question in one's mind to allow an opportunity for a change in perspective of a work or of something that happens later after you've left the gallery. So in that sense, the metamorphosis occurs within the viewer. And what I'm providing in this extended hopeful vision of the exhibition is an opportunity to experience.
And this is part of the Grow Project. Where is the Grow Project located, and how do people get there and to view the exhibition?
Well, the easiest way to describe where it is on Alexandra Parade, opposite the Gasso, opposite the Gasometer Pub. It's the old NIFNAF factory, the first floor. So if you cross the road there, turn right and take your first left, you'll see the doorway open and go up the stairs, and that's where the show can be found.
Terrific.
So how are you finding the, I suppose this, we talked to the Grow Project earlier in the year, it's a fairly new sort of space. How have you found, I suppose, the space and exhibiting that space? Is that something that you found quite sort of cohesive with what you wanted to show, or
terrifying? It's such a huge space,
and I suppose that was the point, because I think from when we talked to the guy earlier on, it was a really big space. How have you managed that?
Well, the daunting size of it is simultaneously incredibly exciting. The possibilities that are there with such a large space are endless.
Yeah.
However, it is just a space as far as presenting work in it goes, and it can be treated as an environment, an architecture, and as long as I think that's kept in mind, then it's, you know, I've made an effort at accommodating some of that space in the work, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it's all turned out in that case. And,
yeah.
Yes. So now you were saying it's at the Grow Project in Alexandra Avenue.
Now the exhibition opens this week on the 7th of February.
That's
with
right.
A vernissage.
Yes, that's right. The vernissage, 7 o'clock, and tickets for that, which include a curated cocktail, are available through the Grow Project website and the Instagram.
And the exhibition continues through to 23rd of March?
Correct. That's right. Yeah, I think it's open Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays.
Terrific.
And so obviously, and that and the venue I remember before is somewhere that you can go have a look at the exhibition and have a drink at the same as well. So that's something that's, I suppose, available to anybody that goes and views it.
Yeah, I think there are specific times where you can be arranged to walk through with a drink in your hand, yeah, and enjoy these cocktails with the work and an introduction to the works from the staff.
And was there a special cocktail come up for your exhibition as well?
I think it's top secret. There is.
Because that was the whole idea behind the project as well, was that there'd be a special drink, you know, sort of made for the various exhibitions.
Yeah, Matt and I have been having back and forth conversations about this for a while now, so it's quite exciting.
All right, that'd be interesting to see what they come up with then, basically, and how that relates to the work as well. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting concept. So.
It's fantastic. And as an aside to that, the glasses that are used for the show have an additional artwork on them, which you carry through. And it's the artwork used for Little Fleas is fundamental to the entire show. So it'd be interesting to see how people respond to seeing that whilst looking at the rest of the work.
An even more interesting concept to it all then too. So well worth looking at. So, all right. So, as you said, it's at the Grau Project. It's on from up to the 23rd of March.
Yes.
But the opening night is a ticketed event, which tickets are still available.
Yes.
On the website. Fantastic. So, if you get a chance, go out there. You're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.